for the second sermon tonight. That first one was good, wasn't it? I like that. I tell you, these kids are a blessing to your heart. And thank the Lord for what they do. You know, they have to earn the right to go on this trip. They start in just right after Christmas, and they start doing things in order to earn, to merit the privilege to go on this trip. And when Josh was telling me all that they had to do, I just almost said, that's too hard. But I didn't, because they've been doing it for years and I didn't want to interfere. But it's not easy to merit the privilege to go, and then to go and do such a great job. I tell you, it's exciting. It thrills my soul. And I just thank the Lord for our teen program, and thank the Lord for our teenagers, and also the adults that went along. Thank you for going and helping. And Charles, Big Charles, this is what, your fifth one? And I tell you, Charles has been a trooper and is a great asset to the kids when they go. And so thank the Lord for his blessings. Did you enjoy that? I did too. I'd like to hear three or four more of them testify, to be honest with you. That's so good. All right, turn in your Bibles tonight, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We have been doing a series of messages on the family, on marriage, on the home, on raising children, training children. I don't know, I've preached on all kinds of things this summer, and I want to preach another one here tonight. Just going to use this verse as a launching pad, really. I'll come back to it at the end of the sermon. But the 19th and the 20th verses, these are familiar verses of Scripture. You know them. And I want to read them, and you just keep your Bible open here, and we'll be back to it in a little bit. But in verse 19, the Apostle Paul asks the question, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, I want you to notice the 19th verse, and Paul stops in mid-thought, and he says, what? And then makes his point, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now, what prompted him to say that? What prompted him to say that is what he said in verse 18. And in verse 18, he said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think about that tonight in the message. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, purity. Let's pray. Our Father, we open the Bible tonight and look at a very serious passage of Scripture. We open the Bible tonight, Father, and look at a warning. And Father, I pray that you will help us tonight to understand what the Bible says here. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you'll get a hold of our hearts tonight. And Lord, do something in our hearts tonight. We live in such a promiscuous world. We live, Lord, in a in a society today that has forgotten the fact that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit if we're saved. And Lord, I pray that you will remind us tonight and do a real work in every heart in this building. And Lord, give us understanding of thy word tonight. Fill me with your spirit and help me as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. The most sacred place on earth to any Jew was the temple. The most sacred place in the temple was a little room called the Holy of Holies. This was the place where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. Now understand this point. The building itself was not sacred. It was made sacred by what was dwelling inside that little room. For God Himself dwelt in that room. As the glory of God hovered just over the mercy seat within that Holy of Holies. This place was so sacred that no one could even so much as look inside. There was a veil that they put up that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. And so sacred was that room that you couldn't even go and pull the veil back and look inside to see what was in there. Only one man, one time a year, one day out of the year, only one man, the high priest, a man who was chosen of God, was allowed one time a year to go beyond that veil into this Holy of Holies. The high priest, in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, every year, would take a blood sacrifice, and he would go beyond the veil and offer that sacrifice inside the Holy of Holies where God's glory dwelt. This day was called the Day of Atonement. This man, the high priest, was chosen by God for this special privilege of representing the nation before the Lord. Now, can you imagine how this high priest must have felt? Can you imagine how sacred was his annual entrance through the veil into the very dwelling place of God? Imagine how he felt when he walked through the veil and saw the light of the glory of God shining over top of the mercy seat. He alone, out of all the people in Israel, was chosen to enter into this place, which the Bible refers to and the Apostle Paul calls the holiest of all. Now that was Old Testament. That was the way it worked in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Well, just as there was an Old Testament temple, there is a New Testament temple. It's not a building made with hands like the temple in the Old Testament. The New Testament temple is not a church building somewhere. Many of the Reformed churches used to have, and I suppose they still do, they used to have what they referred to as a call to worship. And the people just automatically knew to sing when the organ started to play. And the people would sing, "The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the world keep silent before Him." And their thought is that the church is God's temple. But that is contrary to what the Bible teaches. God does not dwell in buildings that have been made by the hands of men. The New Testament temple is the body of each and every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when the Samaritan woman said to the Lord Jesus, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship"?
And the Lord Jesus turned back to her and said, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We worship what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." You see, the Lord Jesus was teaching in that passage of Scripture in John 4, was teaching her and us, because it's written for our benefit, was teaching that since the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom on the day that Jesus died, no more does the Shekinah glory of God dwell in a building made with hands. But now we know, because we have the epistles of Paul, and because we have 1 Corinthians, and we have verse 19 and 20, we now know that God no longer, His glory no longer dwells in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. When God divided that veil, things changed. And now that you and I can have our sins forgiven and removed and separated from us, and under the blood of Christ, now our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is very clear on this matter, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, too many people have the idea that God dwells in the church and all the saints show up to visit God every Sunday because that's where God lives. No, dear friend. That is not the New Testament concept. God does not live in the church. God lives in you if you know Christ as your personal Savior. This building is, as Spurgeon used to say, just a meeting place. This building is designed to protect us from the rain and the snow and the cold and the wind and the heat. It's designed to be comfortable, to be appealing to the eye, to be accommodating, but it is not the dwelling place of God. This building is nothing but brick and lumber and steel and mortar and some pipes and some wire. That's all it is. The temple of God in the New Testament is the body of every believer. Now, since the body of the believer is the New Testament temple, it then becomes the most sacred thing on the earth to a Christian. So it should be kept clean. It should be kept pure. It should be kept healthy and yielded to the one who indwells it. Now, I want to make a few parallels tonight between that Old Testament temple and the New Testament temple. I will never forget when I was about 12 years of age, my dad taking me aside and having a little talk with me about girls. He did not know all this parallel that I'm going to show you tonight from the Old Testament and the New Testament, but he taught me a valuable lesson. He taught me that the body of a young lady is a sacred thing. Your body, young lady, listen to your pastor tonight, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit if you know Christ as your Savior. And when you think about it, there is a biblical parallel, there's a biblical foundation one can make to teach all of us a valuable lesson about the matter of purity. What does God expect in this matter? Now, let me just point out three things to you tonight. So far as that Old Testament temple was concerned, and that Holy of Holies was concerned, only one man could look within the veil of the temple. You go back and study the book of Exodus, and you study the book of Leviticus, and you will find out God laid down the principle and said, only one man, the man chosen by God, only one man was allowed to look within the veil of that temple. And now, the New Testament principle is the same as the Old Testament principle. The New Testament temple of a young lady is reserved for one man. One man. The New Testament temple of a young lady is reserved for one man. And I'm sure that many of the Jews would have loved to have taken a glimpse into the Holy of Holies. It would have been an experience they would never have forgotten, but God said no. Only one man can look inside the veil of this temple. And only one man chosen of God was to enter through the veil. This was the way God designed it. Now listen, it's a natural thing for a young man to want to look upon the body of a young lady, but God has ordained it that young men should restrain themselves as they yield themselves to the Holy Spirit, realizing that the body of that lady is so sacred that God has reserved it for just one man. And just as the veil separated its furnishings from the eyes of the people except for one man, even so should modest clothing separate the body of a lady from all men. Amen. 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 Y'all ain't going to say it. I will. Staff's up here having a spell. The rest of y'all sitting there looking at me like, what? This is why Paul wrote to Timothy instructing the women in the church at Ephesus to wear modest clothing. 1 Timothy 2:9, the Bible says, Paul said, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And what Paul is saying here is that you ladies need to wear some clothes that cover up your bodies. Your body is sacred. It's holy. It is the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit. And you don't need to be going around advertising what you have as a woman. You don't need a lesson on modesty. You girls know exactly what modesty is. You can't tell me that you don't know exactly what you're doing every single time you get dressed. Amen. I'm going to put me an amen button up here and I'm going to push it when I want a response. Wire all the seats. Woo! Amen. Shake that bush. Right. There you go. What was the other thing? Watch it, preacher. Watch it, preacher. I can hear him down there shouting that right now. You. No wonder you were so hoarse when you called me on the phone. And God's point here is that your body is the sacred dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and it should be reserved for only one man, your husband, chosen by God. Second thing I want you to see, not only did God design it that only one man could look within the veil into the Holy of Holies, but secondly, God chose that one man. God chose that one man. The one man that could see the Holy of Holies was the high priest. He was chosen by God for that specific task. Now the Holy of Holies, the body of a young woman, not only should just be seen by one man, the man that is her husband, but secondly, God is the one to choose that man. You say, Pastor, do you really believe that? Indeed, I do. I mean, look, girls, God knows that you are a certain way and a certain person, and God has a certain man out there that He has in mind for you to marry. I believe that with my whole heart. I grew up on the north side of the river, and my wife grew up on the south side of the river. If you went to the edge of town, the town that I grew up in, and wound up real hard and threw a rock, you wouldn't have to throw it more than a time and a half to get it over into the town where she lived. Yet we did not meet until I was a senior in college once removed. and she had just graduated from high school. And God knew before time, before man was even created, God knew that that woman was going to be my wife and that I was going to be her husband. God knew that. And I had dated all kinds of girls, and she had dated all kinds of guys, but in the providence and divine hand that God has in these things, God knew that I was going to be the preacher, and God knew that I would need her for a wife, and God so designed it and so deigned it that He brought us together. I believe that with all my heart. And because of this, you young ladies need to seek God before you marry. You, listen girls, you better not choose a guy because he's cute. That cute's not going to last forever. Oh, they're running through my mind. One right after the other. I mean, I am showing so much restraint. You better not choose a guy because he's handsome or muscular, can throw a ball or kick a ball or shoot a ball. You better not even choose a guy because he has a great personality. You say, well, Pastor, what should I do? I'm glad you asked. You should go to the prayer closet and seek the will of God concerning your high priest, the one who is to share with you the most sacred thing that you have, which is your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. When God reveals to her the one He has chosen, He will reveal to the fella and give him peace as well and assurance, and you'll know that this is the one. You see, no other man should see beyond the veil of a young lady except her husband. A wise and spiritual young lady will wait until she finds the man that God has chosen to be her high priest, and she will wait until she is united to him in marriage. She will not allow other men to see her body, the temple, immodestly clothed. She will not appeal to the sensuous nature of man, but will keep her body reserved and veiled as if her body was the Holy of Holies itself, waiting for that one man in all the world who has been chosen by God for her. What's the point? Here's the point, young people. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. Don't put yourself in a situation where you'll be tempted to violate your temple. Don't allow yourself to get in those opportunities. Don't be alone with a member of the opposite sex. Don't get in a parked car with a guy. Girls, you hear me? You sound like my dad. Good. I mean, you girls would scream bloody murder if a mouse ran across the floor, yet you go out and park in the back seat with a rat. I don't understand that. Amen. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Keep it pure. Keep it holy. Keep it reserved for the high priest that God has chosen for you. Number three. We find, first of all, that only one man could look within the veil of the temple. We saw, secondly, that one man was chosen by God. And number three, only one man was allowed to touch the furnishings inside. Only one man. Now you think about it. Only one man could enter the Holy of Holies. Only one man could see what was beyond the veil. And only one man could touch that which was beyond the veil. You remember that fella in 2 Samuel 6? He had an unusual name. His name was Uzzah. And he touched the furnishings of the Holy of Holies as they were being transported back to Israel, back to the tabernacle. It looked like the ark was going to fall off the cart that they were transporting it on, and he just reached out with his hand to keep it from tipping over. And when he touched the ark, God struck him dead. And the New Testament temple should not be touched except by the one high priest that God chooses for you, and then only when it's sanctioned by marriage. I've counseled an untold numbers of couples that have been married for 2 years and 3 years and 5 years. Through the years, I've counseled dozens of couples who were having trouble in their marriages because of guilt, because they violated the Word of God in this area before they were married. If that is the case with you, dear friend, if that is the case, you say, Pastor, what do you do? Confess it. God will forgive you for it. God will forgive you, and God can still use you. But let me tell you something, young people, listen to me. The best way to keep from having to deal with the consequences of this sin is just to keep yourself pure and not commit the sin. That's the best way. The point is, her body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So guys, it's hands off. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:1, now concerning the things whereof you wrote me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now I know the society in which we're living today. And I know the attitude, and I know that we are living in a society today that is absolutely obsessed with immorality. We see it daily on television, in movies, in the magazines that come to our house, and magazines that we pick up at the store, and magazines that we pick up at the doctor's office. We see it in music, hear it in music. It is nothing more than the devil attacking God by attacking that which God loves, and God loves you. How many lives have been flipped upside down because of this sin? How many young people have had the will of God for their lives ruined and destroyed because they violated God's law in this area? Last week I preached on the subject of adultery and how that destroys so many families. Well, tonight I want to stand before our teenagers and our children old enough to hear and understand me, and I just want to tell you, stay pure. There's a reason you should stay pure. Go back to the text. Flee fornication, Paul said. You know what flee means? It's not that little creature that's on the dog. Flee means to run from. Run from it, young people. Run from it. Flee fornication. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, don't succumb to the devil's lure and do some fool act that will put a blight on you for the rest of your life. Don't do anything that is going to cause you to ruin your testimony. Don't do anything that is going to cause you to throw away your future. Stay pure. Stay pure. Stay pure before God. Now, young lady, listen to me, and I'm done. Your wedding day is the most exciting and special day of your life. How many of you young ladies, when I say young ladies, I mean, how many of you have never been married? You've never been married. Raise your hand. You young ladies, you've never been married. Hold your hands up. Hold your hands up. Our teenagers and young ladies, all right, good. All right, now you listen to me. Those of you who had your hands up, you listen to me. I'm going to give you the best little piece of advice right now that anybody's ever given you in this area.
You want to make sure that your husband feels as important as Aaron the day he took that sacrifice and walked beyond that veil to see for the very first time the Shekinah glory of God. When you stand on this platform or wherever it is you stand for your wedding, and the preacher is standing before you, and your family is here, and your friends are here, and you're standing there holding the hands of that man that has asked you to marry him, you want to make sure your husband feels as important as Aaron the day he took that first sacrifice and disappeared behind the veil, and everybody else was standing out here wondering what was going on. Now, you understand that? You want to make sure that he feels as excited as Aaron felt on that day that he went in and touched that sacred ark and put that sacrifice upon it. And he will if you keep your temple holy. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. God gave you the Holy Ghost when you got saved. And you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. That price was the Savior's life on the cross of Calvary. That's the price that purchased your salvation. Therefore, glorify God. How? Flee fornication. Keep yourselves pure. Let's bow for prayer.